Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Ooh, welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We're going to give you our takeaways from the NFL Week 1, plus a little NBA preview. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound Bosch. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws, because they're free. So 273 coming hot at you guys, and so 272. And the Lamorne Morris re-release that we dropped, because congratulations to him and Woke. And I'm joined on this one by offensive and defensive coordinators Nikki Snacks Kreida and Alex Toss Me the Rock Tassopoulos. And thank God, NFL, I felt so right. I felt it's the most normal I've felt in so long this past Sunday.
I just want to say that myself and my two roommates both looked at each other today, and one said, you know, I got a really good night's sleep last night. And then my other roommate goes, yeah, me too. And I said, you know what? I had a great night's sleep too. And I think we attribute that to watching football on Sunday and having a nice, relaxing day and putting our mind at ease.
It felt so – like, don't get me wrong. Like, the NBA, it just – and good for it being high tension. It was just like a lot of like trial and error, a lot of what's going to happen. Is this going to work? It's the games have been so intense. It's got me a little high strung. It still has that, you know, pandemic feel. Ditto with baseball. Yeah, there's no fans in the stands, but it really feels like a normal sport is back to what it was.
It's almost a sigh of relief, though. It's like, okay, exhale. They got week one on the books. Great. Like, it's there. It's done. Let's play some football.
Yeah, there's no way they weren't allowing that to happen. One player, Raquel Armstead on the Jaguars, he tested positive. That's why he didn't suit up. And I don't even think that was major news. I think people kind of just like swept that under the rug. He's like, it's the Jags' second string.
He's on my bench.
I mean, that's why there's the COVID
spot.
IR spot.
Yeah,
yeah.
And fantasy.
Although Josh failed to make that spot on our league,
there's no IR. I'll fix it later.
There's a COVID, yeah, in my other league that I'm in. Well, one of my other leagues that I'm in. There's a COVID IR spot for any player that gets COVID.
I can add that.
I will say that obviously the NFL being back is amazing, but Sunday was just a great sports day in general, because you had NHL playoffs.
Yeah.
You had NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
Which that was a fantastic game between the Clippers and the Nuggets that pushed it to game seven.
We'll get into that. Yeah.
We'll get into that later. The U.S. Open final was being played. That was actually cool. A tremendous match.
Yeah.
And then NHL playoffs were going on it as well.
Yeah.
So you had four sports. This is the first time that NHL, NBA, NFL and MLB have all been going on at the
same
time.
There was golf going on, too, somehow.
And golf, yeah.
Right?
There's a major golf tournament.
Next weekend's the U.S. Open for golf, too. So, I mean, we've got a really good stretch of sports right now.
And speaking, a stretch that we'll never, ever get again.
Yes. Probably.
You will never get all of these sports playing professionally
at the
same time.
No, you can't. It's impossible. And baseball,
well,
obviously,
is
rolling out
Sunday. It was Thursday night, right? Thursday night was like the first time ever that you got a college game, an NFL game, an MLB game, an NHL game, an NBA game in tennis and golf. That's crazy.
Right.
And
high competition, too. Obviously, every week in the NFL is high competition. But again, the U.S. Open in tennis, major tournament.
Yep.
NBA playoffs, we're getting to the Eastern and Western Conference finals coming up here. NHL, the Stars just made the Stanley Cup for the first time in 20 years. I'm very excited about
Congrats.
That. Potentially playing either the Lightning or the New York Islanders.
Hey.
Josh, if you were to a hockey team, that would be your team.
I think
that'd
be dope.
Yeah, it would be my
team,
actually.
If the Islanders played against the Stars in the finals, it'd be Long Island versus Dallas. That'd be hilarious for you guys.
I have an Islanders jersey ready to roll. 100%. Great. It's Johnny Tavares, who I think is actually on the Lightning, ironically.
I think he is, too. Well, yeah. The Lightning are lose. They
Sports
don't have,
podcast.
They don't have Steven Stamkos, who is obviously he's one of their best players. So they'll miss him, but they're up 3-1, so it looks like it's going to be them and the Stars.
Yeah.
They were the best team in the regular season, so that's I'm kind of shaking in my boots, but super excited.
Are you
there.
Just, like, stoked to get a title no matter what at this point? Because, I mean, obviously you had the Mavs in 11.
Competing for a title.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the, like, hurrah of the Stars. I went to Stars games when I was a kid. I remember all the players that were coincidentally on that 99 team when we won. We went in 2000 and lost. But those were the same players that stayed in 2001, 2002, 2003 when I was too young at 4 to really.
You liked them too. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
You're into them.
I actually like, and I have a rough understanding of the game. Like, I've never laced up the skates and gone out there and played before, but I've studied it a decent amount and played enough NHL where I know what's going on.
I don't think any of us don't understand the game. I just think, at least for me, my mind is so overwhelmed by every other sport that I know that, like, and there's too many, like, foreign names, and you guys know, especially when we started the podcast.
It's hard to follow.
Yeah, my pronunciation has gotten astronomically better, but when we first started, right? When we first started the Charity Stripe, I mean, hey, listen, somebody called him Schuster Smith today, okay? So let's not get on my back, which was kind of ridiculous.
Here's the thing. I think a lot of our friends, a lot of our fans, a lot of our listeners, just people in general, you know, probably look at Toss and they're like, damn it, you're taking it for granted. Hockey's my favorite sport. I would give anything to see my team in the Stanley Cup Finals. And yeah, Toss, you're pumped, but those people would be so fucking psyched.
You were pumped. You made an Instagram story. You were excited.
I'm pretty – I will say that I have watched every single game since we got into the second round.
That's true.
I'm pretty excited. I want to see us win. And, like, this has been a little bit of a surprise. Nick, it would be a little bit like – your Padres taking it all the way to the World Series. As far as they're not the number one seed, right? It would, like, the Lightning are the Dodgers.
Yeah.
We've surprised. We've outplayed some teams that are
quote unquote
better than us.
Yeah.
So
hockey's one of those sports though where it's like you never know. The 8 seed can shock people.
The Kings did it as an 8 seed. Whoa. What the fuck?
The Sharks do it too?
I think they were something like that. I'm not gonna pretend to know.
If you are thinking right now, okay, I guess I can just tune out for, you know, the next 2 minutes because I don't care about hockey.
Yeah.
Go watch playoff hockey because it'll make you care about it.
And Argo, fuck yourself. Argo is one of Ben Affleck's better movies. I watched The Town. Nick, do you like? I feel like you like The Town.
I love The Town. Yeah.
You know what? I love The Town. Now I've reverted to like really liking it because
I think it's a Nick impression. I give it a Nick impression. 7 out of 10.
Really.
Fun fact here. So for the listeners, Josh, Toss, and myself were all into the same acting class, right? I got in the acting class first, so they weren't able to see this, but to get into the acting class, you have to do a monologue before you get into class. My monologue was from the town.
The Underoos monologue, where he's like talking about his mom left with the cigarettes.
Yep. When they're at like the flower garden or whatever, and they're
talking with
each other. Yeah.
I did that one in college. We had to do an we had an accent class in college, and I'm down in Texas. I'm the only one not from Texas in the acting class,
and everyone in the class can vote on two accents to do. We're going to study two accents the whole semester.
The one was Boston?
One was Boston, and guess what the other one was?
New York.
100%. And I was like, guys, please, for the love of God, can we do like French? Can we do something? We all kind
Israeli.
Of look. Is that's the only one I can
you know
do.
What you should, you guys should have done. I'm.
We did.
I'm
do
rewatching
British.
Fargo, the TV show.
Yeah.
You should have done Midwestern.
Oh,
100%.
Like Minnesotan accents are
like,
hilarious.
If I really need to turn on the Boston or the New York, it takes me like 2 seconds to read it over and go through it. And I was like, come on, guys. This
talk
is
about hockey fans.
Dippy.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, they are hockey fans.
Oh.
Hockey.
They're also like they're so like meekish and like oh I didn't mean to hurt you or any. Martin Freeman is fantastic.
Yeah.
So is Billy.
Martin Freeman's great with Cumberbatch and Sherlock.
Jesse Plemons is in the first season or second season, right?
Jesse
I think he's,
Plemons.
Yeah, second season.
Guy's like he's in everything.
By the way, guys, just want to put it out there. There's a new Netflix movie on Netflix called.
Go figure.
On Hulu.
called I'm Thinking of Ending Things, and ooh. Jesse Plemons is one of the co-leads. Don't watch it.
It
is like the biggest, like, what the fuck is going on the entire movie? And like the payoff is just.
It's about a breakup, isn't it?
You looked at me really serious, like, don't watch it. I would never. I don't watch it.
Like, you think it's about a breakup, but like at the end, you're just like, what? I just wasted 2.5 hours of my life.
Is it wrong I don't watch Netflix movies? It's like I have like a weird taste in my mouth about them.
Some of them are pretty good. I mean, there's been some good Netflix movies out there.
Yeah, I'm sure. I just like every time I look like it's a Netflix movie, I'm like.
One of my personal favorites is The Wrong Missy. It's a David Spade movie.
Yeah, there you go. That's all I needed
Happy
to hear.
Venison.
Yeah, that's it.
It's good. It's really good.
You couldn't bet on me watching a Netflix movie. And speaking of betting and gambling, Nick, you almost had a sick parlay tonight. Which you put on what website, Toss?
Bet Online. The wait is finally over. Football's back, as you just mentioned. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Nick, you had who was in your parlay tonight? Who ruined it?
I had the Padres. I had the White Sox, who are both underdogs. They both got the job done. And then sadly, I had the Broncos. And I think Oskowski wanted me to win the parlay tonight. But the Titans got it done.
Yeah, I had a nice parlay yesterday amongst, you know, I think 4 or 5 NFL games.
Jesus.
And the Lions absolutely blew it because DeAndre Swift
really
dropped the touchdown pass that Stafford just put
perfectly
into his hands. Rough game to start your NFL career with, but tons of different bets that you can put in at BetOnline, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online, and there's always the online casino as well, which never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses that they have. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. BetOnline. Your online sportsbook experts.
Dun, dun, dun. And there was a Judy had a couple drops. His footwork's ridiculous, but he had a couple drops today. Some of these rookies had a little cold feet, but a couple of them looked pretty good. So mainly Chase Young looked sick.
A little bit of a difference between CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy. One, that Jerry Jeudy was immediately thrust into the number one
role,
wide receiver slot because Cortland Sutton was gone. And Lamb just had the benefit of like being there. He played well, but like he didn't have as much pressure on him.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you guys a question? Because we had a meet. I was out in Arizona this weekend, and that's why we are recording on a Tuesday or Monday, releasing for Tuesday.
Good weekend to be in Arizona.
It was nice. We had a major debate, me and the guys who I was with. I said it wasn't unreasonable to not put Tua or Herbert out there. I said it's okay to carry the clipboard a little bit because oftentimes these guys are not good out of the gate. They're not ready, and they need some time to carry the clipboard, hang back, learn the playbook, familiarize themselves, watch the game up close and personal, learn from the quarterbacks who are ahead of them. And they're saying no, if they're being taken in the top 10, they have to play right away. I mean, how often do we – and I was like, that's kind of ridiculous because how often do we see guys flop out of the top 10 or are thrown in there too early and they fizzle out rather quickly because the team's not good enough around them. They get the shit beat out of them and they look terrible and it takes a massive kick in the nuts to their confidence. Am I crazy in thinking
that? No, I don't think you're crazy at all. Were you guys watching that Pats-Miami game very intently when Fitzpatrick had thrown two interceptions? Did you guys get the inkling that – Tua could have gotten into that game.
I don't. Would he have done anything different?
It crossed my mind, but I think that it was. I think it was Fitzpatrick's game the entire way. I don't think that. I'm sure Flores told Tua, like, "Hey, look, you're not going to see the field unless he gets hurt."
Yeah, and like,
especially week one against the Pats.
Did it with Herbert too? Like, and first of all, the Chargers won.
Well, the thing is, here's the thing with the Chargers. Tyrod Taylor didn't turn the ball over. He didn't do anything to lose his job. You know, there's no reason for Herbert to go in that situation. You know, I mean, the offense wasn't super productive, but I wouldn't put that on Tyrod Taylor. I'd put that on the play call and the Bengals defense. So
yeah,
I'd be more inclined to put two in against New England for the Miami game because Fitzpatrick turned the ball over a couple of times.
Right.
But Tyrod didn't play a bad game. It just was, you know, just average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played a pretty. He did what I thought he was going to do.
Yeah.
Nick, I think you got to feel pretty good. I mean, when Mike Williams is on the field, he does some spectacular things.
That was like probably the coolest game I've ever seen. He didn't show up much on the stat line, but right. Some of the catch, he was making that like one even inbounds.
Exactly.
His catch radius is always good. But Nick, you would probably speak to this better than any of us because
he hits the ground pretty hard though. And that's the problem is he gets injured too often.
Exactly. His body control. It's kind of like
Derrick Rose.
Happened in Hard Knocks. He dove for a ball and he got hurt. And they were like, he just separated his shoulder, or sprained his shoulder or something.
It's like Jesus. Like, and exactly. It's like when David Cohan came on the show. He's like, Derrick Rose, watch the way he hits the ground when he dunks.
Right.
Too hard.
Or it's like watching James Conner run every single game. And guess what? James Conner got injured today. I love him because of that. I love that he runs so hard every single play, but you have to pick your moments, especially as a running back where your time is limited.
I mean,
look at
RG3. I mean, that guy was, he was flying all over the place his rookie year.
They didn't know what to do in the, I guess they do now. I guess it's different.
I think they've quickly adapted.
I think the RPO, they have things in place that are better for those quarterbacks. RG3 was kind of like, I guess you could say he was ahead of his time, but there was Vic, there was Cunningham, and I know Steve Young's not often thrown in there, but Steve Young is definitely in the mix of those running quarterbacks.
Cam,
yeah. And so, like, I think RG3 was just he was an accident waiting to happen. He had already hurt his ACL. Yeah. But, yeah, exactly. He ran ferociously and without any care to his body, and you kind of have to do that. And Mike Williams, his catch radius is insane. His hands are great. It's just every time, and it's always he's hitting the ground. It's always he's flopping. It's like, yeah. Jesus, dude, keep
he's
it
on
together.
The ground after every single play, for sure.
Stay up, brother.
So one of my takeaways, Josh, is kind of piggybacking.
That wasn't one of mine. I was just freeballing.
On that question. Yeah, was that, to me, the Redskins are further proof that NFL games are won on the line. See Chase Young. Teams in the rebuild have to start on the line if they want to see long-term success, and then also see most of the competitive teams in the NFL have a QB who wasn't a top 15 pick. Like, go down the line. You look at Russell Wilson. You look at Dak Prescott. You look at Tom Brady. You look at
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. You look at, I mean, I could continue to name these guys.
Breeze.
Where was Roethlisberger? He wasn't top. Was he in the first round?
Yeah, he was top 15.
He was top 15.
Nick, what up, boy?
Mahomes was just right 10, there, right?
Yeah.
And Watson was.
Well, look,
14.
You're gonna get guys,
of course.
But those Mahomes went to a team.
But we're acting like Goff and Wentz are better than all of those guys, and they're not.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar went to a team that was ready. How many times do we have? We say this every time. I don't care how good the quarterback is, and some quarterbacks can revert a franchise, like Andrew Luck. There are these perennial guys, Cam Newton, who can really take it to the upper echelon. All that being said, most and oftentimes you really have to be ready to take the franchise signal caller as a franchise. You have to be a franchise, not a team that is kind of piecing it together.
Saquon Barkley.
Dumbest
pick
ever.
How many rushing yards did he have today? He has no offensive line. I mean,
what are they thinking?
Not to discredit the Steelers' defensive front because they're fantastic. That defense is awesome, tremendous. And over the course of a game, they're scary against whoever their opponent is. But you've got Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. If they have no time to make plays for themselves, what are they going to do? What can they do?
That defense is like how many first round picks are on that defense though? Like that defense, they've either brought guys in who can just don't have to be the guy. Like Alualu, who's a top 10 pick for the Jaguars, he doesn't have to be a guy a number of years ago and he's been flopping around the NFL. He doesn't have to be the guy anymore, right? Hayden doesn't have to be the guy. They have TJ Watt. They have Bud Dupree. They have Devin Bush. Three first-round linebackers It's not rocket science. You are 110% Minka Fitzpatrick. You are 110% right. Like,
look at the Jets floundering, right?
Because they don't have anything around Darnold. And that's, like, my biggest takeaway was there were guys and teams that were on the hot seat that didn't come prepared. Like, Fangio, Gase, and Patricia, they were three guys on the hot seat, and not that they were completely, like, Gase was not prepared. And that team was not prepared.
I think Fangio played, I think he played the game pretty well.
I think he played it well up until the point where you're sitting there with 20 seconds left and they go, what are you going to do with these three timeouts now, hot shot?
That's the one thing that the clock management at the end of the game, you know, I wouldn't say he should have called it, you know, with like 40 seconds left, because if Vrabel was supposed to call it then, he just didn't. He was waiting on Vrabel to call that. But he definitely should have called timeout like with like a minute 40.
Well, 100%. Look, I think, look, you've got a quarterback who started six games in the NFL. You can't give him, 17 seconds left with three timeouts? You can't give him that. You can't put him in that position. Like, use the timeouts
without
early.
Without Sutton, without Hamler, like, and a new running
what
back.
What do you expect to happen? You're asking for a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a tough
100%. And maybe underprepared was the wrong word, but they were, I guess, maybe underprepared coming into the second half, because Patricia is on the hot seat, and he finally looked like he had the reins together. And the thing with Fangio is this. Fangio also is in charge of the defense. He's brought to the Broncos because he's a defensive wizard. You cannot let the Titans, and they got lucky too, because Gostkowski had one of the worst kicking games, not only that I've ever seen him have, easily the worst one I've ever seen him have, and one of the worst I've seen in a long time. And that's saying something, because the kicking in the NFL has been hot garbage. Fangio's job, though, is to tune up that defense and get a stop, and he couldn't.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, when you need it most, the Titans marched down the field, ate the clock, kicked a 26-yard field goal, and now they're going back to Tennessee 1-0.
Right.
Patricia, they were up 20. Trubisky couldn't hit the red side of a barn. Yeah, we could go to DeAndre Swift and say, oh, you dropped the touchdown. It should never have come to that.
Right.
How do you let Trubisky, I don't care what he did last week, he is not going to be the guy by week 17.
I mean, how about the Eagles blowing a 17-0 lead?
That was bad.
Against the Washington football team.
There were three. I wanted to see Wentz, Darnold, and Baker, at least one of them do something. I will give Baker the benefit of the doubt, because Stefanski's like the fucking 18th coach he's had since he's been in the NFL. Wentz, no excuse.
Wentz, who was through the first two drives, was unbelievable.
None.
He looked amazing.
They're like purposely not using Zach Ertz, so they don't have to pay him. I don't understand that. Goddard's good though. Rager, he had Rager wide open. He overthrew him. Wentz to me is overrated.
It looked like,
and I'm standing by it.
Wentz played the first half of that game, and then Mitch Trubisky zapped whatever power he had.
They flip flopped
and flipped it in the second half. You know, a situation where a coach comes in and drafts a quarterback high, the Cardinals, Kyler Murray, but you have Chandler Jones on that defense. You have Patrick Peterson, and you have pieces that are there, and you play into the new style of the NFL where a quarterback can go and rush for 93 yards in a game. That's a total game changer with a slew of weapons.
Where were the Jets for DeAndre Hopkins? Where were they?
God, I am so glad that DeAndre Hopkins did not go to the Jets, because that would have been such a nightmare. That's one of my takeaways.
Please.
It's the Cardinals. I mean, I think everyone was kind of, you know, we were unsure of how it was going to work out, right? A lot of people were like, I don't know if I'm going to draft DeAndre in the first round this year. I'm not sure if I'll even take him in the second round. You know, a lot of uncertainty. It's a brand new offense. You know,
totally.
It's a second year head coach, you know, second year quarterback. Is there going to be chemistry there? But what do you know? DeAndre Hopkins does DeAndre Hopkins things. He shows out, has a crazy game.
Oh my God.
Kyler Murray is electric. That offense is so exciting. And I do think that the Cardinals, looking at how they played against the Niners, I don't know if they win the division, but I think they're coming for a wild card for sure. They're going to be scary. I mean, I think that's the top five offense in the league right now, for sure.
I mean, you know what, though?
And the weapons. Edmonds and Drake. And Kirk and Fitzgerald, who's sure-handed and a great leader on the field. Did you guys see Fitzgerald at the end of the first half when he grabs the ball?
It doesn't get better than that.
I mean, that's amazing.
But you know why I think Hop had a very seamless fit? he's kind of similar to Fitzgerald. They kind of play a similar style of football and receiver.
They both have dreads.
Yeah. So Cliff, it's easy for him to slide him into Fitzgerald's role last year and just kind of expand it versus having to remodel the offense is what it felt like, and clearly it worked.
And
also, Cliff's a smart coach. He's a smart offensive mind. He's going to figure out a way to get that guy his touches. It's bound to happen.
The Arizona Cardinals were the worst team in the NFL against the tight end last year. And what do they do with their first round draft pick?
Simmons.
They go and get Isaiah Simmons, who is a guy who at the least is a playmaker and has the speed to stay with the tight ends, these athletic tight ends who are pass catching tight ends in the NFL. But that's, Nick, I think that's a great point. One of my takeaways is the NFC West is the best. If it's not the best division in football, it's the most entertaining to see how things shake down, because Arizona took advantage. They took advantage of a very depleted 49ers team who is suffering from a lot of injuries right now. Kittle got hurt in that game. Debo's not there. Mostert is just a beast. He's so fast.
They may regret trading DeForest Buckner.
They might.
That's a big move to make.
Jimmy G, who's still not there. He's still not there at the end of the game.
Right?
He made some pretty errant throws late in the game there where I thought, like, okay, I'm ready to see him either step up or get stepped on by Kyler Murray. And he did. He got stepped on. Yeah, and then obviously Russell Wilson in Seattle is phenomenal. Russell puts up one of the greatest first games I've ever seen. And Carson looked good. Their receivers are awesome. Lockett and Metcalf, like, try and stay with that 1-2 punch.
I feel bad because I think the Falcons did look pretty good as a team, but they just ran into a buzzsaw.
Well,
the Seahawks, I mean, those are both your guys' picks to win the Super Bowl this year. They're
happy with it. I'm so happy with that pick.
I think the Falcons will be exciting this year. You know that they can put up points, but they just have question marks still on defense.
They have question marks in defense. The Vikings have question marks in offense. They're like the kind of mirror image of each other.
The Vikings have question marks on defense too.
Yeah, they got torched by Rodgers.
They got torched. They might have the worst defense backfield in football.
But they'll get it to. I think they'll pick it up. I think Yannick there. I think
maybe
Danielle Hunter didn't play. I think they'll figure it out.
But then to round out the NFC West, we've got the Rams, who looked like the Rams of 2 years ago.
They look good.
They looked great. Malcolm Brown, our boy, hook him two touchdowns on the ground. I mean, he's their starting running back.
For sure.
As he should be.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
Which is best case scenario for them because they could ease in Cam Akers.
Yeah, it's great.
I think, Nick.
No, well, I was just going to stay with the Rams game. My second takeaway is what a fucking bonehead call by Mark McCarthy. I'm just like, come on, dude. Like, okay, a lot of people understand that you kick the ball, right, when you're in the red zone. Down by three, you kick the ball. But some people are like, you know, maybe you go for it. You know, I mean, you got to get a lead on them eventually. Okay, here's the thing. If it's a shootout, if you're playing against the Chiefs, if you're playing against the Ravens, you know, if you're playing against teams that have high-octane offenses where they just keep on scoring, 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 you can't stop them, then sure, you go for it. But your defense has played pretty good, but they've held you to 17 points the entire game. I mean, take what you can get, tie up the game, keep relying on that defense, and then maybe get another opportunity to kick it again.
And what was it?
It's a fourth and three, too. It wasn't like a fourth and inches.
Fourth and five.
And it was a chip shot. It was an easy chip shot for Greg Z, who you
revenge game.
It's a revenge game. He hit his one earlier that game. You expect him to hit that. I think it was just, it didn't make any sense. And the reason why so many Cowboys fans like myself were frustrated by it is it is the exact same conservative or the exact same like just dumb calls that
Jason Garrett
were expected with Jason Garrett, and nothing has changed for us. And McCarthy had his year off where he was like changing his approach and focusing on analytics driven football. And guess what? Sometimes you gotta play the game how you're supposed to play it. And in that scenario, you kick the field goal. It's a tie game. Make the Rams beat you on offense. The defense had started looking like it was shaping up in that game.
Alden Smith,
what a great comeback game for him. Really, really happy with that. Sucks that Jarwin went down because he's out.
And
for
Van Der Esch.
Van Der Esch.
Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth could not stop jerking off Alden Smith the entire game. It's crazy.
He looked great.
Yeah, well, he did hang Dick. Honestly, he made all four of those hands to jerk him off at that game.
Oh,
he balled out.
Yeah, but that was brutal first game for the Cowboys. But good on the Rams for just taking care of business.
Well, Aaron Donald is disgusting.
He's amazing.
The minute Cam Irving went out, they were in trouble on that side.
I will say the Cowboys got screwed on a pretty bad pass interference. It seems like it happens once a week for a team.
That call
sucked. It seems like it happens once a week for some team that they get screwed at the end of the game.
But don't you feel like we're just thrust right back into football with that? Like nothing's changed? Like you almost like it.
It's like, it's 2019, baby. The refs suck. If the refs were good, it would be so 2020.
It's like death, taxes, and refs making shitty calls.
I will stay on the Cowboys one more second, and then I'll go to my, I guess, last takeaway. The offense just, like, wasn't moving forward. It was so, like, 5 yards, 5 yards, 5 yards. It's like, especially at the end of the game when you have to go on this game-winning drive, it's like push, and you only have to get a field goal. It's like push the goddamn ball. There was no urgency. It was just hit Amari Cooper for 4 yards, hit Amari Cooper for 5 yards. And don't get me wrong, I'm in a PPR league, and he's my wide receiver one, and I'm not complaining, but I would have loved for him to go, instead of 11 receptions for 89 yards, how about 11 receptions for 120 yards? Or like DeAndre Hopkins is going for 14 or 150. Devontae Adams is going for like a million yards as well on a bunch of receptions.
Is McCarthy the play caller there?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's the issue.
No.
Kellen is?
More.
Is Kellen calling the plays?
Okay. Well, I mean, the play call, I don't think it had anything to do with Dak. It's the play call. I mean,
yeah. It's done.
You know, you want to see more creativity. You want to utilize Zeke more, too, in the pass game. I mean,
he caught it.
Let the boy eat. You know what I mean?
He had a touchdown. You guys see that tat that he has? It says, feed me across.
Feed me.
Such a comment.
I mean, to be honest, like, Zeke had a pretty good game. He went for 22-96. Touchdown on the ground and a touchdown in the air. He played well, but we still lost. Like, that doesn't normally happen. What was wrong?
They didn't push the ball down the field. Yeah. They didn't get the ball.
Utilize Gallup,
exactly.
It's tough when Dalton Schultz is your backup tight. That guy, like, dropped two passes.
Yeah.
We missed Jarwin. We missed anyone who
they
was
were
just
going
a competent
to him.
Tight end.
They ran, like, a screen to him. I'm like, why are you like, – at the end of the game, they ran a screen to the backup tight end. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
My final takeaway, though, the top seven, the teams I actually really deem the top seven, and I don't think the Niners are in there. I really don't. I think they play. I still am adamant that they played above their weight class last year. I think they punched above their weight class last year. I think they caught lightning in a bottle and were really exciting and really good. And now they're heading into the season banged up on offense. They lose Buckner. Richard Sherman's another year older, and I'm not as stoked on them this year. The Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills, the Steelers, the Seahawks, the Packers, the Saints. Now, there's teams like the Buccaneers who I think will figure it out because, again, there's a lot of new offense. There's a lot of new players. I don't think Brady's going to be the Brady of old, but I think he'll be the Brady of last year where he's at least solid, and he just has to get that chemistry going with all the players. They have to figure out who's the running back. They have to figure out how to utilize Gronkowski other than pass blocking. Like, get him down the field. What the hell was up with that? Evans wasn't 100%. They'll figure it out, I think. But those seven teams, they really looked head and shoulders above the rest of the league. That Steelers team, Roethlisberger in the second half, Deontay Johnson, James Washington, Juju Smith-Schuster, Claypool, the rookie, had a nice catch. Now, all of a sudden, he's got four weapons that he can throw to. Plus, Benny Snell looked
Vance
like...
Vance McDonald's out there, too.
Vance McDonald, Eric Ebron. He's going to air it out, and that defense is scary. The Bills, Josh Allen was great. John Brown and Diggs are legitimate 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
I think John Brown.
Hey, what is not to like about John Brown? We do love John Brown.
And I'm a big Josh Allen believer this year. I think that he's going to...
Hey, I'm in.
I think he's going to turn some heads this year. I think a lot of people underestimate him. And I think he looked like a baller out there this week. I mean, on the ground and in the air.
He threw the ball 46 times.
And he threw for over 300 yards.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to clearly, they're just going to let him go.
They're going to let him fly.
And especially if...
And they were winning that game, too.
They had some question marks. But I mean, I wasn't super, super impressed. I have Zach Moss on multiple fantasy teams. He scored a touchdown, so I was okay with it. I wasn't super impressed with him or Singletary. They both need to take a step up. I think what's just going to happen is Moss is going to take the majority of the carries and bump Singletary out of the starting job and kind of put him as the running back.
That's what I thought would happen, yeah. But the Ravens are like...
They look great.
The Ravens are like... They made the Browns look... I'm going to give the Browns the benefit of the doubt because it's a new head coach. But if it goes down against Cincinnati, in Thursday Night Football, a team with a rookie quarterback.
Who I don't think is a joke.
I don't think they're a joke of a team. But
you at least know they're competitive.
They play the Chargers well. I don't think the Chargers are great, but they play the Chargers well enough, at least. I don't think Burrow looked amazing, but again, he's a rookie, and he had no preseason and a very short and weird training camp. So, again,
look, put his team in a position to win.
Say what you will, Burrow did his job. He got his team in the red zone to get his kicker the opportunity to tie the game.
Chonky Randy.
Badass Randy Bullock couldn't make it.
What happened to – someone needs to send him like the Sean T. Insanity DVD.
I do feel bad because he got hurt on that play.
Yeah, it sucks. You never want to see a guy get hurt. But he looked a little out of shape.
But come on, get hurt.
What are you doing, brother?
On the game time kick.
The Ravens, brutal. The Ravens are like murderers row.
Yeah, they're great.
They may actually. I thought the Chiefs would have an easy time in the AFC. I don't think so anymore. I think those other three teams are going to give the Chiefs a little bit of a tough time. Whereas I think the Seahawks, Packers, and Saints, man, those three teams as well, that's a three-headed race in my book.
I mean, Michael Thomas did nothing,
and they still won the game. Their defense is intense. And Kamara is good. They're not shy to feed Latavius Murray the rock. They kind of came out, and Jared Cook was utilized heavily.
Got the change of pace guy with Taysom Hill. Who's just like,
what the hell is that?
You know what he's going to do.
He's the most exciting. Is he the most exciting player in football?
Taysom Hill? No.
But he's fun.
I will say, we haven't highlighted this game. I will say one of the more fun games of the weekend was the Jags. Las Vegas Raiders and the Panthers.
Correct.
That was a great game. Yeah.
Josh Jacobs, man, he's awesome. He's awesome.
Oh yeah. That's no surprise. You know what? I was impressed with the Panthers. They really came out offensively way hotter than I thought they would.
Yeah, you got Christian McCaffrey. I mean, how do you not?
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
But like, it's a new team, new head coach, and
new quarterback.
It's like it still worked. I think the Panthers will be competitive, not good, but competitive, and they'll make games interesting. They may sneak a game or two on some people.
They just did.
Well, no, like win, and not like come short.
Yeah.
The Vegas. If Ruggs can stay healthy, the Vegas team's good. But yeah, the Seahawks. I'm so happy with them. I think they're gonna do it. I think they looked mean. That Falcons team. You were right, Nick. That Falcons team is good, and they kind of put the hurt on them.
For sure. Yeah.
And Vikings team is good, and the Packers.
The Packers are,
tremendous.
It's funny because, like, you know, you always expect, you know, the Seahawks, like, they're going to be able to keep on doing it. Like, I don't know, is the rain over? And then you look on Sunday and, like, you see a new face, Jamal Adams. And you're like, oh, fuck, that's right. They got Jamal Adams this year, too.
It's every year.
Top safety in the league.
Yeah, they bring it. Top safety in the league. They bring in a new guy every year on defense. Fits right in like a glove because Carroll has the perfect scheme. And on offense, like Lockett and Metcalf, could that be the top duo by the end of the year? Honestly, possibly.
That could be a Mike Evans Godwin type scenario.
Oh, totally. They looked great.
Big guy, little guy.
Yeah, they looked fantastic.
They got the best middle linebacker in the game, Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, I didn't even list him. He's insane.
Yeah.
All over the place.
And they have the most clutch quarterback in the game right now.
It's clutch, but he's like lights out, though. He's been lights out for the last like 2 years.
Yeah, he's pretty.
I think longer.
He's so accurate.
He's so efficient, dude.
Yeah, he doesn't miss.
He's not messing around.
He doesn't miss.
I felt bad for the Falcons though, because I thought their offense is like. I think
it'll be fine. They'll be fine. They're gonna hit a wild card spot, or even win that division. All right.
Last takeaway for me.
Yeah. You want more?
I think that Cam Newton may have a legit shot.
Oh wow.
At being the MVP.
He rushes for 2 touchdowns a game this year, then I don't see why not.
And if the Patriots win 11 games,
he's not going to be Lamar.
He's not.
He's playing against the Dolphins. So.
I know. He's not, but just seamless. We're talking about new quarterbacks. We're talking about new systems. It looked seamless. He took care of business.
That defense. I was happy we brought in Cam. I thought he looked good, not great. I'm excited. Edelman had a bad drop. I'm excited. And at the end of the game, their connection started picking up.
Yeah.
I think their running back rotation, they're going to start utilizing White and Burkhead more for him as you know, guys in the flat, which will be nice. And I think Michelle Wasn't terrible, which is always good to see. Having David Andrews there is huge. He's a great center. Imagine if we had Marcus Cannon. I think the tight ends they're using a lot of guys in the backfield as extra blockers, which is super. And McDaniel's super creative. I think N'Keal Harry is going to be utilized more, which is nice. I think Cam's going to pick it up in the pass game. He was fantastic in the run game. But if you're, you know, I'm glad we brought the Patriots up because I don't want to be the one to do it. But you know, if we're talking about them, my favorite part about the Patriots was the defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lockdown.
It was great.
Oh, Lance. Yeah.
It was great.
Gilmore had a sick pick.
He's epic. He's epic. The defense, talk about a perfect defensive scheme like Carroll does. Belichick has the same thing. We're no Hightower, no Chung. They're both out this year, you know, and it doesn't matter. He can plug and play whoever, fit whoever in. He rotates his guys beautifully. He knows exactly when to call the number and when not to. And that, keep in mind, that Dolphins team, same team. That same Dolphins team, when the game was on the line last year, they put the work on the Patriots.
Yeah.
They hurt the Patriots bad. They ruined our season. They trashed our season last year.
Lost your bye.
Belichick came in no nonsense with that defense. But I think Cam Newton's going to be exciting. I think he's going to be good enough. I hated that he got in a little tussle at the end of the game because that's just not what we do. But, yeah. Like, keep it together. You win the game, get off the field.
Cam Newton, let Cam Newton be Cam Newton. That's how I feel about it.
Let him dress like a baller. Let him wear that.
The zoot suit.
Yeah,
he looks great.
Before we send off NFL.
Yeah, Nick.
I would like to mention that there was a scoregami this week. For those who don't know what a scoregami, it means that it is the first time that the outcome of a game was what it was. So there's the first time ever that a score ended in 43-34. The Packers and the Vikings was a scoregami.
I had no idea what that was. Good for you, Nick. That's awesome.
Wait. You mean like 23-32? 34-43? Like that kind of
thing? Yeah. Like scoregami means for the first time ever, a game ended with a score of 43-34. And that's what it was this week with the Packers and the Vikings.
Wow. Cool.
43 is a weird one to get to.
For sure. Yeah.
Yep. 34 is very common.
Yeah.
43 right. is bizarre 43. To A, get that high, and B, hit 43. Super weird.
Scoregami. Yep. Love that.
Nick,
love that.
Thank you for that freaking awesome fact. And new thing, I learned something on the show, which 270.
It happens every now and then. Yeah. It's probably maybe three or four times in the NFL season.
Well, Nick, you are on Scoregami watch now.
I will keep the fans updated on all.
You may have finally been unshackled from the nickname Snacks and just be
Nick Scoregami Kreider.
Who knows? It could happen. I don't know what I'm going to say next time.
Okay, we mentioned that there was another great game that was not an NFL game on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was the Clippers Nuggets game, game 6. The Nuggets won again. Michael Porter Jr. Hadn't hit a shot and then hits a three at the very end of the game. Jokic was unbelievable. He's so good. Jokic is so good.
I still, I want to say the Clippers are going to win, though.
Do you guys think there's no doubt that the Clippers win game 7?
No. Hell no, I can't say no doubt. I'm not.
Nick, you said yes?
I mean, it's Kawhi Leonard. He's just going to fucking go off and not let anyone touch. I don't know. I don't see them losing that game. But I saw something on Twitter today that made me really sad, honestly. I saw a old clip of the Lakers playing against the Celtics, right? And it was a clip of Phil Jackson talking to the team, right? Kobe's there, Powell's there. It's in the early 2000s, and it's the fourth quarter. And Phil goes, "This team knows how to lose in the fourth quarter. That's just what they do." And the caption was Phil Jackson talking about Doc Rivers losing in the fourth quarter. He's right. Doc Rivers blows a lot of games. And I'm not saying it's all on him. But, I mean, you look at this game on Sunday where they blow a 15-point lead, and you look at the game before that, they blow a 16-point lead. You look at years before that, they blew a 3-1 lead to the Rockets. You know, I mean, he blows it a lot.
Yeah.
What are these lineups he's running at?
That last one was they blew it. They were up 18 at half, and they end up losing in the fourth quarter. I don't remember the final, but it was what? It was a 15-point game, wasn't it?
Trez had a brutal game.
They lost by 13. They lost by 13 last game.
And they were up by they were up by what? They were up by 16 going into the half.
Also, we definitely will need to reevaluate our rankings of the top 100 NBA players because Gary Harris is good. He's playing out his mind.
He's not been healthy, though.
He hasn't been healthy, and now he's finally healthy, and it's making a huge difference. Talk about a guy who can knock down. I mean, when you bump Monte Morris now into a bench scoring guard instead of a guy that like has to actually put up 10-plus for you every single game, it makes a difference, and Gary Harris is a tremendous defender.
Well, he's not expected to be the third best player on the team. He's now, like, honestly, he may be like the fifth best player, fourth best player on the team.
Who?
Gary Harris. Because Murray and obviously Jokic is the best, then Murray.
Yeah.
Then I would maybe say Porter Jr.
I think Gary Harris does more for this team than Michael Porter Jr.
On the defensive side, I just think the Porter Jr.'s upside is more exciting. Honestly, on
Porter Jr., like at the end of the shot clock, like I want the ball in that guy's hands. He's great at the end of the shot clock.
He's good every. He's got so many moves, and he could see.
And he moves really well off the ball. And obviously, Jokic, like you can't double that guy. He is too good of a passer. They keep doubling him. Stop doubling him.
And he's so big. Even if it's tough, man. It's tough to put a guy on him. His shot is so like rainbowy.
Yeah. I mean, that's I think the Clippers' weakness here is they don't have anyone to spell Jokic. I mean, they've got guys to cover, you know, Murray and Porter, but I mean, when it comes to Jokic, like, who are you going to put on?
In
but
Zubac,
it should be. I feel like
Zubac
it's
just Trez. Zubac has done a good job. Trez is 6'7".
I know he's much smaller, but he's like he's like a firecracker kind of guy. He's not great defensively, but he should be at least making his life kind of hell.
I've been pretty. I mean, I currently the way he's been playing and the way he played against the Mavericks as well, undeserving of the sixth man of the year. Obviously, it's a season award, not the playoffs award. But he's not playing like
that was
right now.
Bullshit. It should have been Schroeder or at the minimum Lou Will. Schroeder was unbelievable. And a huge reason that Thunder team made the playoffs. A very unheralded thing. Everyone gave Chris Paul credit, and rightfully so. I'll always respect Chris Paul for this, for not making a stink, sticking it out with the Thunder the whole year and sending them to the playoffs and been playing.
They
in
should
the
run it back.
Yeah, I hope so. And then Shea was great. I think they need to replace Steven Adams, but that's another story for another time. But Schroeder should have won that award, and it's proving so right here. I think the Clippers win, but I'm not going to say it's a lock. And the other guy I was saying was Jeremiah Grant, who's been awesome for them up until he didn't have a great game last game.
What's Chris Paul's contract like for next year? Is he
1.42 million or something like
that?
He's
got 2 years. He's got 2 years left.
Does he?
Two years, 40 a pop, I think.
I was going to say, I mean, it'd be nice to see a reunion on the Clippers. But
they're talking about him going to Milwaukee. They're talking about Russ going to Milwaukee. Which I would like to see them run it back with a healthy Russ.
Russ cannot be on a team where he's the second option. He just can't. That's not how he operates. Like he'd be good in a Miami, right? Where he's like he's the dude and he's around a bunch of shooters. But like he's not good on a team where he's the second superstar.
I think he was hurt. I think he was hurt.
I like Russ too. I like Russ. I've said it before.
But he needs the ball in his hands.
I said it before, and nothing has really changed in my mind, that he can't win a championship. He can't do it. His style of play demands too many touches. He turns the ball over too much, and he's not a good enough three-point shooter.
But that team is old balls around. That team is like not kind of.
There's other issues with that team, but there were Thunder-created teams that were perfectly suited, quote-unquote, for Russ, and they either didn't have the three-point shooting. Like, you're asking for the perfect recipe here. And LeBron can get you to the finals without the perfect recipe. So can Kawhi Leonard. Like these
guys,
they are
better players,
exactly,
for sure.
Exactly. And when it comes down to it, Russell Westbrook just isn't in that category of player.
But if you have to upgrade over Austin Rivers. You have to get, I don't know what the hell they're thinking with this small ball lineup when they roll in there.
D'Antoni's gone and they're not considering bringing him back.
He could kick it to the curb. He could kick rocks to call back to our boy Lamar Morris. He might go where?
The Sixers.
Enjoy.
That's a terrible match for him.
Horrible.
I would love to see him in New Orleans just to turn them into like a dynamite offense and just
have fun. Yeah. Sure. Like I think he's not a good head coach. I know he's not a good head coach. A good enough head coach to win a title. I think
you have to.
Russ is more likely to win a title as a player than he is to win a title as a head coach.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
He had Stoudemire.
Look, you
Nash.
They literally had
Marion. What were they gonna do? Like, how do you not win with that?
Two of the top 15 players in the league. Who are of those 15 players? 10 through 15, they're both 10 through 15 in clutch factor. Those guys disappeared. James Harden disappeared. He disappeared, and you can't have your best player who you rely on for 37 points during the regular season not do that every single game. You can't
have that happen. I completely agree, and I also think a major issue for the Rockets was the fact that who the hell was going to guard LeBron and AD? When you were going in, what are you, like, what?
That's a good point.
Who on God's green earth on that roster?
I love PJ Tucker, but he can't guard everyone. It's impossible. He
can't guard Anthony Davis. Is the second best big man in the league behind Giannis. Who is guarding him on that team? Austin Rivers? Daniil House? Rob Covington?
Daniil House isn't even there because he's getting...
He's left the bubble. He's getting gone.
That's where they're missing Clint Capella, obviously. But
yeah.
They wouldn't have won with Clint Capella, though.
Right, you know? No. I would say they won, but at least Russ, you could have better, someone that could size up.
Yeah, they got nervous. And they,
okay, so the Clippers play the Nuggets.
Who you take? Nick, you going Clippers? You going with your team?
I mean, I'm definitely going Clippers. I mean, they're a heavy favorite.
I'm not gonna bet against Kawhi. I might, depending on what the odds are. But
in a game seven, I mean, come on. He's going
to
take over.
I'm excited to see him just dominate because no one can really stop him.
The Nuggets, Jokic and Murray have never not played in a game seven.
They've never not played in a game seven?
All their times it's been together in the playoffs. Never.
Jamal Murray is just so likable.
They both are. I'm rooting for Denver. Fuck it. It's a win-win for me.
He's come so far this year.
I kind of want to see, for legacy's sake,
Lakers Clippers because I want to see LeBron Kawhi. I don't know how much longer
we have that for.
We have LeBron for.
I'm selfish. I mean,
it looks like we're having it for the next 5 years because the dude looks unbelievable.
LeBron looks sick.
He's so good.
He looks insane.
He's a bulldozer.
But like, what do we think?
Would you?
No.
How much to take a charge from that guy?
$100.
$100, yeah. But it would not be fun.
I would do it for free. You guys know me. I'd pay him to do it.
Okay, so the Clippers take the Lakers on. They're a bad matchup for each other.
I think we wait on that. Let's see how tomorrow plays out, and then we'll give our picks. Let's see. Because I do want Denver to bash. You're bashing
Doc Rivers, but like I could bash Frank Vogel all day long. That guy.
He's riding coattails. He's full Ty Lue right now.
Okay, and then on the other side, we can
preview the Celtics and the Heat. Though.
We do have the Eastern Conference Final.
We're friends with a lot of Celtics fans. My roommates and you, Josh, are all big Celtics fans.
I'm nervous.
I know you're nervous. They don't seem to be nervous, but I think deep down they really are.
Those guys, they're like the two cockiest of the fans of all time.
It was a gritty series against the Raptors, and I think that has to bode well for the Celtics. I think you guys are so talented.
I guess.
I don't necessarily know.
That's a gassing series, and the Heat have lost one game in the playoffs, and they are shooting lights.
They're just so deep.
They have Iguodala's like their ninth man. Crowder's
and
like their tenth
Crowder's
man.
Crowder's playing out of his mind right now.
He's the tenth man.
Yeah. They just have so many different weapons that it's like.
And I mean, Josh, you love Bam Adebayo too.
I have a boner for Bam.
He's probably going to work Tice.
No, Tice has been great. I've been a big fan of Tice.
I'm just saying, I think Bam is going to work.
Tice has been a great. No, I don't think so. I think Tice is going to stay in there. I think the issue is the depth.
I definitely think Bam is the best guy that he's seen so far.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. What about Embiid?
I feel like because of his other options and Bam's passing ability, that
the trickiest thing that he's seen, maybe.
Because it becomes a lot more of Bam. Also, because Bam's a little bit smaller, Stevens might be inclined to switch. And Bam is just going to dominate in those other situations.
But we will utilize.
This is not Pascal Siakam backing down Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is a phenomenal defender. Dope. So I'm excited to see him. I imagine he'll get the bulk of the load on Jimmy.
Yeah, he has to.
Which will be really interesting. I think Marcus Smart will probably be on Dragic a lot.
Yeah.
Which is that's who you gotta lock him down because he's been fantastic for them. And you guys have some good defensive kind of mediators to mitigate that all their different weapons.
Rob
then,
Will's
like,
a little sloppy.
Who's guarding Tyler Herro though?
Exactly.
You know?
It's like what are we like?
Who's running around with Duncan Robinson the whole game? Probably Tatum.
I'm cool with that. I mean, Robinson's not like an elite athlete, so
who
it's not like
on Jimmy.
Jaylen.
Jaylen will be on Jimmy.
Jaylen's got to go on Jimmy. Yeah. I'm not worried about Tatum. I'm kind of into Tatum being on Robinson because he's a great shot blocker. He's as big as him. and Robinson's not going to blow the doors off athletically.
That's fine.
He's roaming the
heat. You know what? He's just a little pawn in their scheme anyway. He's a spacing tool.
Yeah, I know. And
he's a spacing tool that can go off for 20 points.
If we had Hayward, I would feel way more confident.
Which, what's the timeline? What's the timeline on him coming back?
It's kind of up in the air. Like, it's kind of mum.
Okay.
If we could get him for a game, like, tomorrow is going to be very telling.
I've just talked myself.
Definitely one of the better coaching matchups you'll see in a while, too.
That's true.
I've talked myself into the Heat being my favorite for the series. I think you guys are just so talented. Like, Tatum is still the best player probably on the court.
I think they're going to win, too. I really am pissed saying I think they're going to win.
Yeah. It's going to be a great series either way, I think.
If we win tomorrow, though, that'll change my mind heavily. But as of right now, I think they're going to win.
Miami's a slight underdog right now. They're plus 105. I think they've got maybe
What's the over
under? Don't you know that they just love that?
Yeah.
Give them underdog status? That's like the epitome
of
the Miami.
I took Miami in every single game of the Bucks series.
That's so smart.
Money line.
Really?
Every game.
That's epic.
And they were underdogs in like four of them.
Except the last one.
Well, if anyone's been doing that with the Nuggets, right, they're feeling pretty good about themselves too.
The over-under tomorrow is 210. If it goes over, I'm not feeling good. If it goes under, feeling really good.
Yeah. If it's a defense, if they can't shoot well and you guys are, your
defense
is flicking.
How about that? If it's under the 210, I'm feeling fine. If it's over the 210, not feeling that hot.
Not feeling hot in a shootout against
them. We're at 209.
Hey, it's under, Nick.
By a point. Yeah, so it's going to be look, I'm excited for these playoffs.
And I was living in Texas for a little bit. Nick, maybe you could also speak to this. The games are starting later. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Bring me back to 3:40.
You were living in Texas. You were there for like 3 days.
I was there for 8 days.
That's not necessarily
8 days?
A stretch.
7 days. 7 years.
You were there for 2 weeks, were you not?
I was in Arizona for a couple days. I was there for 8 days.
Freaking world traveler over here, man.
Mr. Worldwide. Mr. 305.
Mr. 305.
Is my nickname.
It shouldn't be because you're a Celtics fan and you're playing the Heat.
Good point.
And he's a Heat guy. So
definitely one of the more underrated things about living in California is the ability to wake up and watch sports.
Dope.
Like waking up and football being on at 10 o'clock in the morning is awesome. And in college, you know, sometimes it's at 9 a.m.
And the game's not ending.
And you get your Monday night football game ending at 10 o'clock rather than 1 in the morning.
Same with Sunday night. You've got your 5:20 game that ends at 8 p.m. You can watch your HBO right after. It's the perfect recipe.
Exactly.
For a fan of entertainment.
Hang me twice with a tether rope. It's like,
although HBO isn't really living up to their name these days.
HBO Max?
HBO Max, I hear they've got... I don't have HBO Max right now, so...
Do I have to make a new purchase?
I need Roku to step it the fuck up.
Did we buy Red Zone, by the way? Was it pricey?
It was what it was.
You have to. The sacrifices we make. We're going to talk baseball in the next episode, and we'll talk fantasy. We'll get back into fantasy blank and fantasy blank. It's going to be a surprise, and then we'll also get back into...
We don't know yet.
And then we'll get back into Nick's betting advice. Nick, get ready for Wednesday show. Dropping Thursday.
Some bookie Mets.
We started off, Nick, you were so hot last year at the beginning. We kind of got tailed off, and then fortunately for bookie Mets, his laptop got jacked, so we lost the graphic and failed with that one. But now I'll get back into it. But really fun show, guys. Fans out there, drag both feet and bounce. We're on a full count. Rip that puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they're free, and hit your free throws. Why?
Because they're free.
Because they're free. We out you. We love you.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
Cena! Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.